Well, God has called us to advance. And He's calling us to advance by growing His family, growing the family of God, seeking out the lost and the lonely and bringing them in to the family of God. He's also calling us to advance by going deep, which is a word God gave us several years ago as we planted this church, that we're to grow by going deep, meaning discipleship, evangelism, encountering God's presence, and prayer. Advance. This morning, we're going to go back to Joshua chapter 3. It's been a couple weeks since we've been in Joshua, but we're back in our study of Joshua. We're going to go back to Joshua chapter 3, where we have already discussed how the priests, who were the spiritual leaders of the family of God, how they carried the presence of God and went before the people. And we talked about this happened to be on Father's Day, and how men, we are the spiritual leaders of our homes. And God's word shows us that as spiritual leaders, we're to carry God's presence and lead our families and lead the church by being in the presence of God and carrying the presence of God. And so this morning, as we go back to chapter 3, we're going to encounter, I believe, another very exciting reality as we advance. That reality is this, is that God is with us. It's the title of the message this morning. God is with us. Joshua chapter 3, verse 1. Then Joshua rose early in the morning and they set out. And they came to the Jordan, he and all the people of Israel. And they lodged there before they passed over. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp. And they commanded the people, saying, as soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it of about 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near it in order that you may know the way you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. So as we discussed in our last sermon in Joshua 3, the Ark of the Covenant in those days represented the very presence of God. It's called the mercy seat. That's where the mercy seat was on the Ark of the Covenant. And so wherever the Ark went, the presence of God was there at that time. So to follow the Ark meant to follow God. Verse 3, jump back there for a moment. As soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. So, what God is saying to His people, and if you are in Christ Jesus, you are His people, you're His children, you're His family, He's saying to His people that when you see me move, follow me. When we see God move, we need to follow Him. Get up off our couches. Get out of our routine and say, God's moving. He's doing something. I got to be part of that. Following God is how we're supposed to advance. We're not called to follow our own plans or our own desires. And that is so contrary to our way of thinking here in the United States of America in 2014. We're kind of an egotistical, self-centered people today in this nation. But we're not called to follow our own plans, our own desires. We're not called to follow what the world is doing. We know that because the world's going to hell in a handbasket and literally going to hell. If we follow the ways of the world, it will lead to hell. So we're not going to follow where the world's going and what the world is doing. We're not even called to follow everyone else just because our neighbors and the church down the street, you know, they're doing this. We just got to jump on that bandwagon. No, we are to follow God. We're to follow God. We're to listen for His voice. We're to look to Him. We're to get into His presence, each one of us. And as a local congregation and as the greater body of Christ, we're all to get with God to the point where we know where He's going and we know what He's saying. And then follow Him. Verse 4. It's talking about following the Ark of the Lord. In order that you may know the way you shall go, for you haven't passed this way before. How many of you know that God wants to take us places we haven't been before? Well, if we're going to be going, and how many of you want to stay where you are right now for the rest of your life? The same condition you're in right now, physically, you know, financially, health-wise, relationally, spiritually. How many of you just want to say, you know what, enough's enough. I've grown. That's as far as I want to go with God spiritually and everything. Don't raise your hand because you don't mean it. We all want to go somewhere new. We all want the new things, the next thing that God has for us. And that's going to be someplace we haven't been before. So we better be following God. If we follow anything else, we're going to find ourselves in a world of hurt. But how often do we ask, what should I be doing? I find myself doing that a lot. Man, what should I do now? Where am I going? Which way should I go? What's my purpose right now? And we ask ourselves that question, and the answer is always this: follow God. Where is God going? What is God doing? And get on board with Him. Jesus did that. I mean, he's our perfect example. What did Jesus do? We don't need to ask what would Jesus do. We know what Jesus did. We read God's Word. We know what Jesus did. What did He do? He got with His Father. He got in His presence. And He did only the will of His Father. He only went where His Father told Him to go. He only followed His Heavenly Father. And so we have Jesus as our example on how to do that, what that looks like, and how that results in some pretty amazing kingdom fruit. But what I see happening is that a lot of Christians, they begin to look like that deer in the headlights. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Check out this picture. They look like that deer in the headlights. If you're from anywhere in the U.S. that has deer around, you know that when you're driving down a highway, and if there's a deer on the highway, that he's not going to move. What he's going to do is he's just going to stare at you. And you're going to be barreling down the highway at 60, 70, 80 miles an hour. If you're my father-in-law, you might even be going 90. But you're going to be barreling down the highway thinking that deer is going to jump out of the way, but he's not. But a lot of Christians find themselves looking like that deer staring in the headlights. Frozen. Do you want to build a snowman? You know, not that kind of frozen. Just frozen, though. You know, like they don't know what to do next. What am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to go? I don't know. Sitting around paralyzed and going nowhere, actually. Just kind of dealing with life and getting beat up by life and not going into the next place that God wants to advance them. Do you want to build a snowman? I'm going to be singing that the rest of the day. I don't know the rest of the words, so I'll just keep singing that same phrase. The problem is this, is most Christians are looking for some kind of miraculous sign, some kind of cosmic billboard that's going to come out of heaven and going to be flashing and be saying, go this way. If your name's Bob, your name will be on there. Bob, go this way. Go this way. Go this way. And we're looking for God to show up like that in every season of our lives, telling us which way to go. Now, God can do that. How many of you believe that God can just create an amazing billboard just like the one you see on the screen that can just come out of heaven and show up right in front of you and say, go this way? Yeah, there are testimonies of people that have had that kind of in-your-face direction from the Lord. But if we're waiting for that every single day, we're going to find ourselves often paralyzed and stagnant. Instead of that flow that we talked about last week, instead of flowing with the Lord in where He's going. People ask, which way should the church be going? What's God telling the church today? What's God doing in this generation right now, in the church right now? When I came up with that question, I was thinking about that. This is what popped in my head. We often ask God a question And he gives us an answer, but it's not really the answer we were looking for or that we thought we should get. And so what do we do? It's just like a kid. You know, my kid goes to, one of my children goes to Velvet and says, "Hey, Mom, can we play video games?" And Mom says, "No, you can't play video games." And so what do? That's not the answer they wanted. So they go to Dad. "Hey, Dad. Of course, I'm in another room and Mom can't hear. Can we play video games?" And they're looking for a different answer. They already have the answer from their parent, from the one who's leading them into righteousness. And they already have the answer, but it's not the answer they want, so they keep looking for another answer. And so I believe the church does that a lot. We keep asking God, well, what is God saying to the church today? What should we be doing as the greater body of Christ? And I want to say that God already has given us the answer. We can look in His Word right here. We open this up. God's given us the answer. What should the church be doing today? And until we're doing what God's told the church to do today that comes right from this Word, we're probably not going to get some cosmic billboard that says the next step. So what should the church be doing today? Matthew 28, the Great Commission. We should be going out to all nations and we should be making disciples, teaching people to obey all that God has commanded. That's in the Great Commission, by the way. That second part I just said, that's actually in there. Gets cut out a lot. But teaching people, that's hard. That's not the answer I'm looking for. You know, I don't want that answer. So we keep asking God, well, what should we be doing today? What should we be doing? You know what else God said? God also told the church that we should be laying hands on the sick and casting out demons. Oh, but that's messy. And what are people going to think? What's my neighbor going to think if I start praying for them, laying hands on them, and all of a sudden crazy stuff starts to happen? Well, read God's Word, and I'll tell you what your neighbor's going to think. Your neighbor's going to think, wow, I want some of that. God is real. I'm finally seeing a real God. Anyway, I'm moving away from my notes a little bit, but I believe God has that message for us right now. If you want to know what are you supposed to be doing, open up this book, read it, start doing it, and you will be blown away by the results. Oh, it's going to be scary, and it might be hard, but is God big enough to help you through all that? Oh, yeah, He is. He is. Okay, let's keep going. We're going to get in the heart of the message here in a little bit. Let's keep going. In Joshua 3, it keeps getting better and better. Verse 5, then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. How many of you want the Lord to do wonders among you? Consecrate yourselves. Set yourselves apart for Him. Don't give yourselves to all the other junk of the world and then wonder why God isn't doing wonders in your life as you're sowing into all this other stuff. Consecrate yourselves and watch God do wonders among you. Set yourself apart for the things of God. Get in His presence, be about His business, and watch Him do wonders, miracles, incredible things among you. And Joshua said to the priest, verse 6, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant and the Lord of all the earth. I'm in verse 11 now. I jumped forward a little bit. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is passing over before you into the Jordan. Now, therefore, take 12 men from the tribes of Israel, from each tribe a man. And when the soles of the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, what's going to happen? The waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap. Verse 14. So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priests bearing the ark, again, the Ark of the Covenant is the presence of God, when they set out to follow the presence of God, and as soon as those bearing the ark had come as far as the Jordan and the feet of the priests bearing the ark were dipped into the brink of the water, now, it makes this statement, it says, now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest. God wanted to make a point that we understood that. It says in verse 16 that when they dipped their toes in there, the waters coming down from above stood and they rose up in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan, and those flowing down toward the Sea of the Arabah. the salt sea, were completely cut off, and the people passed over opposite Jericho. God is the ultimate leader. How does God lead? I got two quick points I want to make here. God's leading his people. Do you see what's happening? God's going before his people. The presence of the Lord is going before his people, and the people of God are following, and they're crossing over this rushing river. How does God lead? How does he do this? Well, number one, God goes before his people. Do you see this? God goes before his people. How do we advance? Why can we have confidence in advancing? Because God goes before his people. God didn't simply point the Israelites in the right direction and say, okay, see the river there? Go for it. It's rushing. Trust me, just go for it. Run. I'm going to stand here and watch. You'll make it. You'll make it. Have fun storming the castle. You can do it. God didn't do that to his people. God Almighty led the way into the dangerous rushing river. God went before the people. We have to understand that as the people of God, as the children of God who find our place in this family through Christ Jesus. We've got to understand that God goes before his people. He goes before us. We're not little pawns that he plays games with. No, he's our leader. And he goes before us into any place, even those places that seem dangerous. God goes before us. We have the privilege of following the greatest leader of all time. We can have confidence in his leadership. We follow the King of Kings. God goes before us. He doesn't call us to go any place that he hasn't already gone. Do we understand that? If you're going to follow God, you got to just understand and go with confidence that God's gone before you. I mean, check this out. God calls us to cross a river, and he says, say no to sin. That's what it says in God's word, that we're to say no to sin, right? It seems impossible. It seems like a hard river to cross, a difficult thing. But God's already crossed that river. He's gone before us. Jesus, it says in Hebrews 4:15, was tempted in every way. Tempted by every single sin, yet didn't sin. He went before us in that and showed us the way. And now he's calling us, now follow me in that. You who are in me, Christ Jesus, you who have the deposit of my powerful grace, you who are filled with the Holy Spirit now, who've been redeemed, come, follow me in this. I've gone before you. You can have confidence. You can make it across that river. Be holy as he is holy. We can follow him in holiness because he's led the way in holiness. Forgive others. God led the way in forgiveness. It says in Colossians 3:13, forgive as God has forgiven you. Who do you need to forgive this week? You can do it. You can go there. You can forgive because God has led the way in that and is leading you into that. It may seem hard. It may seem difficult. But God has gone before you. God calls us to love. Well, he first loved us. He led in that. Calls us to make disciples. Well, he showed us how to do that. He led the way in making disciples. We can do that. You know, we can actually teach people to obey all that God's commanded. Doesn't mean they always will. But we can teach them that and instruct them in that and disciple them in that. God showed us how to do that. He led the way. We can cast out demons. We can be used by God for miraculous things. Jesus led the way and showed us that. We're not stepping off into a river that God hasn't already stepped into and made a way for us in any of these areas of the Christian life. God has already stepped. He's put his foot into the river. He's made a way. He's the ultimate leader. You don't have to be afraid. Doesn't mean that it won't look a little scary at times. But down deep, we can know that God has gone before us. You name it, God's done it. He's led the way. You know, I think I want to point out something in verse 15. I think it's very significant that the Israelites were called to cross the river when it was at flood stage. Didn't just say, well, they crossed the Jordan. Ho-hum. It happened. God's word made a point of letting us know that it was at flood stage. Verse 15, now the Jordan is at flood stage during all of harvest. It's the most difficult and dangerous time to be around a river when it's rushing, when its banks are overflowing. I mean, you know how it is when we have our monsoon season and it actually really rains like crazy, and they have these different passes that they say you can't drive your car through there. And there's these people who think that they're smart, so smart, and they're capable of doing it, and they try to drive their car through one of these washes, and what happens? They don't make it, and their car gets washed down this temporary river that happens in the middle of town here in the valley. It's dangerous at flood stage. But that's exactly when we're often called to cross and to take the land, when we're called to step out and to advance. And it requires faith. It requires us to know that God is able. Today, the river is raging in our culture. How many of you know that? I mean, the river is raging right now in America. It's raging. Sin is abounding in this nation. Wrong is called right. Righteousness is snickered at and called foolish and silly. There's a raging, rushing river right now going on. Things are being shaken. The world's confused, a state of panic. But here's the cool thing. It's harvest time. The river is rushing all during harvest. It's harvest time. We're being called to cross over even now while the river is raging and rushing in this nation. And people are thinking that the church is antiquated, doesn't have a voice anymore, and needs to just be quiet and go away. We're called to cross over, because now is harvest time. When the river is raging is harvest time, and it's time for the church to advance right here, right now. The word came earlier. I believe Joe gave it. We have what we need. We have Christ Jesus. We have the Spirit. We can walk now. We can advance. We can be the church. We can see the harvest come in as a result. The river is raging, but it's harvest time. And He'll make a way for you, and you'll be able to enjoy the harvest. And we're talking about bringing the lost and the hurting into the family of God. That's the ultimate harvest. I want to conclude with some more good news about how God leads. Number one, God leads by He goes before us. The second thing is that God stays with us. How does God lead? He stays with us. He won't leave us. He won't abandon us. Look back at verse 17. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, again, that's the very presence of God, that's God. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all of Israel, all the family of God, passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. God was the first to enter the rushing, raging, dangerous situation. He's the first one to go in there, and He's the last to leave. That's God. That's our Heavenly Father. That's His character. That's how He operates. He steps in, He makes a way, and He stays with us the whole time. It's a timeless characteristic of God. Here's a few verses I want to throw out, just so we really get this and understand that God doesn't leave us. He won't abandon us. It says in Joshua 1:5, we studied a couple months ago, God's word says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, for the Lord your God will go with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, never will I leave you, says the Lord. Never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? In Matthew 28:20, part of the Great Commission is He tells us to do the impossible. Go reach the nations. Go bring in the full harvest. What does God say in the middle of that Great Commission? He says, surely I will be with you all the days of your life. That's God. That's our leader. That's our Heavenly Father. Whatever you're going through, whatever difficult situation you're dealing with, I want to ask the band to come up. Tim, just pick a song of faith that we can respond and sing into this here in just a bit. Whatever you're going through, whatever the situation might be, whatever financial crisis, whatever physical ailment you might have, whatever relational difficulties, chaos that may be happening in your home or at your place of work, whatever it is that you're dealing with, God has gone before you. Do you believe it? God has gone before you. And God is with you in the middle of it. And God will not leave you. Draw close to Him. Stay close to Him. Follow Him. And nothing, no river, is big enough to take you out. Stay with God. He'll never leave you. Maybe you're contemplating. Maybe you're at this place right now where you're ready to go deeper with God. You're ready to go further. You're ready to follow Him into that river. It's like, okay, I'm finally there. I've had it with trying to do things my way. I've had it with trying to fix my life. I've had it with trying to create my own happiness, my own purpose, my own destiny. It doesn't work. And I'm going to tell you what, if you haven't learned that, learn it. Learn from other people. It doesn't work. Maybe you're at the place where you're ready to follow the Lord right into that river. Advance with Him into the future that He has for you. To step off and just go for it. And it looks impossible. It looks scary. Because the river's raging. It's not an easy thing. And it's going to change your location. You're not going to be on this side of the river anymore. When you follow the Lord, He's going to walk you through that raging water on dry ground to the other side that looks different. You haven't been there before. But you're ready to follow Him. You're ready to make that move. I want to remind you of this, and I want to encourage you. I want to give you that little nudge to go that God has gone before you. He's already stepped into that river. He's already taken the first steps. He's before you. And as you follow Him across that river, He will be with you the whole time. And He will never leave you. This is God. This is how good He is. He has an amazing future for every one of us, individually and corporately, as the body of Christ. He has an amazing harvest that He has designed for us to be part of bringing in and experiencing and finding joy in this harvest. Our role is to follow our leader. To stay with Him, to consecrate ourselves to Him. And we will see Him do amazing, wondrous things. Y'all on board for that? Let's stand up. I want us to just go into a time of worship for the next couple minutes and just sing into this in faith. To get our hearts and our minds right with God. To make statements of faith that we're ready to go. We're ready to move with Him. You'll never be disappointed if you go with God. Never. He'll never disappoint you, and He'll never let you down, and He'll never lead you. Let's sing.
You hear me when I call. You are my morning song. No darkness fills the night. It cannot hide your light. To whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield. Though troubles linger still, to whom shall I fear? As I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns for